So welcome. My name is James Crenshaw, and I'm going to be co-chair of the Shack this year. And this is our first meeting, so we're going to have a little bit of an organizational time in this meeting. And then we're planning to have two presentations, and this is a non-voting meeting. So we don't really need to establish a quorum because we're not going to vote. We're just going to have the two presentations. And just a little bit of housekeeping. I think we're going to need to have several Shack meetings in a row rather quickly. So after this Shack meeting, I want to really talk about having another Shack meeting in mid-October and another Shack meeting a couple of weeks from that one, and I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. A lot of the materials that are on our current list are very outdated, and they've been approved a long time ago. So when you kind of cut it off and say anything that's 5 years or older, a lot of the materials are older than that. So our goal this year is to get updated materials to the board. The requirement is that we meet twice on the materials. So the way the board meetings are, to be able to present all the materials we need to present and have two separate meetings on those, we'll be pushing it to get to the December 5th board meeting. So we're going to have, my plan is to have these two presentations today and as many presentations as possible in October, and then we would meet a third time and vote and discuss which ones we want to take to the board and then take them to the board December the 5th. That's the plan. Because the teachers and the counselors really need the materials, so we got to have a lot of work to do to get to there. So since this is our first meeting, if you don't mind, we'll do introductions around. I'm James Crenshaw. I'm Associate Superintendent for Student Services.
I'm Linda Borgansky. I'm the Associate Superintendent of Federal and State Programs.
I'm Velma Solis-Garcia, Superintendent. Nice to have you all here today. Thank you.
I'm Brandon Cunningham. I'm Pastor at Grace Community Church.
I'm Andrea Hawley. I own the Survive Infusion and Wellness Centers here in town and have a primary and an elementary.
Okay.
My name is Mandy Cox. I do physical therapy in different school districts, not this one, but I also have three children in this school district.
Great. Thanks for being here.
And I'm Leanne Minners, and I'm a parent, and I have a child in the intermediate and a child in the high school.
I'm Kay Gilson. I teach 7th grade English Language Arts at the junior high.
I'm Shauna Fuller, and I have a senior this year and a freshman, and then I also have a son who is homeschooling.
I'm James Coulter. I'm retired, and I had two children that came through the school system.
Yes, sir.
I'm Jerry Moore, and I'm a community member, and I'm a grandparent and a parent. And my son lives here within the community.
Yes, sir. Thank you for being here. Sir?
I'm Stephen McClure. I'm a parent here. I have three children. The oldest is in first grade, so I have two more that are coming up. We'll be coming through Flower Bluff.
I'm Cindy Drake. I work here as a counselor for first grade and second grade, but I'm here today as a parent of an intermediate student.
I'm Savannah Bledsoe. I'm the district social worker for Flower Bluff ISD.
I'm Savannah Velez. I'm a student at Texas A&M Kingsville, and I'm a social work intern with Savannah Bledsoe this year.
I'm Kristen LaBom, and I am a staff nurse at ECC.
I'm Dawn Evans. I'm the district nurse and the intermediate campus nurse.
And I'm Phyllis Cox. I'm a community member. I'm a grandma and a mom.
Okay, excellent. And I think we have some community members just here sitting in. Thank you for being here today very much. And we have presenters. We'll introduce them in a bit. So with that said, I want to talk a little bit about there are new members on the committee. And by policy, new policy, the board appointed members. And that's important because the co-chair of the committee needs to come from that group of appointed members. So right quick, I'm going to just ask you, show of hands so everybody knows who the board appointed members are. We have Brandon Cunningham. Stephen McClure, Phyllis Cox, And Christina Harris, I don't believe is here. Jason McCann, I don't believe is here. Mandy Cox.
Oh, wait, right here.
Thanks. And Jeannie Peluccio, did I say that correctly?
Yes,
she's not here. Okay, so from that group, we're going to need to before we go any further, we're going to really need to find somebody who's willing, first of all, to co-chair, and then everybody that can kind of vote on that co-chair. So. Is there anyone that wants to volunteer, so no one has to be voluntold? Does anybody have a desire to co-chair with me?
I do.
Yes, sir.
Can you raise up your hand? I was just going to say, if nobody was raising their hand, I was just going to say, what does that exactly entail?
Well, there's tons of work involved. No.
he does all the work.
So I'm the co-chair that should be doing the heavy lifting, right? And then when we get more organized, then a co-chair may help me run this meeting a little bit more to Robert's rules of order, even though state law doesn't require Robert's Laws of Order in this one. We'll need some organization where someone will ask for a motion and then a second, and then the voting part mostly, and just co-chair in that way. So we have one volunteer.
He's a volunteer.
So anyone else interested?
He seems real qualified.
Well, so right now, if we could get a round of applause and for our new co-chair. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. The next thing I want to do, and one thing I really do want to do, is honor your time. So I'm going to try to be organized and try to have things done in a way that we're not spending a great deal of time here. You know, enough time, but not too much time. So if I could get you to reference the second piece of materials that's called TEA, Child Abuse, Family Violence, Dating Violence, Human Trafficking Fact, FAQ from April the 14th. I just want to draw your attention to this fact, and I'm not going to read it to you, but basically this is charging this committee with some new duties this year. Many of you who are on the committee last year are familiar with having discussions about human sexuality instruction and going through the process of deciding what that was going to be and then presenting that to the board. Since then, the state legislature has passed a law that has added new things that have to be treated the same way. And they are child abuse instruction, family violence instruction, dating violence instruction, and human trafficking instruction. So basically, over the next few meetings, we're really going to need to decide what curriculum we want to use for those items, get them voted on, and get them to the board. So I wanted to just point that out. And then if you'll look at BDF legal, the legal policy, this is straight from our policy. This talks about the composition of the board down there about halfway on the first page, where it talks about the board shall appoint at least 5 members, and that one of those members shall serve as the co-chair. So I wanted to show you that policy. And then if you'll flip the page, there's still to BDF legal, and it's highlighted on the back. The SHACs shall establish a physical activity and fitness planning subcommittee, and I would like to try to get that done today. That's on the agenda. And basically that's, along with other things, this committee talks about physical activity and makes recommendations to the board and reviews our fitness gram every year and the results of all that. So we're going to try to get some folks appointed for that subcommittee. And in EHAA local, it's just reiterating this idea that this this committee is charged with finding instruction on prevention of child abuse, family violence, dating violence, and sex trafficking. If you look at this, the first thing that we were to do was adopt a board resolution to do this. That was done 2 board meetings ago. I believe.
Last
time flies when you're having fun. You know? And then also, the board appointed their members, and then all the other members were put together, and then that entire list of members is voted on by the board and approved. So that's all been done. Now it's time for us to roll up our sleeves and decide what programs that we want to adopt.
You want to tell them about the audio? You want to tell them about the audio?
Oh, yes, thank you. Okay, so minutes. Minutes are done a little bit differently in this meeting in that they are required to be posted within 10 days. So normally you might not talk about the minutes until a next board meeting in a normal situation. In this situation, we'll have to get the minutes together on this meeting and get them to you and have you kind of approve them by email or add to or take away so we can get them posted in time because they'll need to be posted in 10 days. So that's kind of the process of how we post the minutes, and we also post the audio that we're doing. So with that said, we have now we have two presentations. We have a presentation of folks from Youth Odyssey that are here, and then we have some folks from the Jason Foundation who are waiting for us to have them zoom in and talk. So I'd like to take this time to have Youth Odyssey come up and present what materials that they have.
Sure. So, can I do my
thing? Yes.
Just a moment while we get the technical things in there. All right. Good afternoon, members of the SHAC committee for Flower Bluff ISD. I am Tony Minter. I am the program director for Youth Odyssey. And I want to talk to you a little bit about who we are, what we do, and how we can support the youth in Flower Bluff. So Youth Odyssey was founded in 1997. We've been around for 25 years. We were founded by a local attorney, Kim Cox, who was doing some work, had some clients coming to him, some juvenile clients coming to him through the court, and was a little dissatisfied with some of the outcomes he was getting in the courts. And a judge told him, well, if you don't like it, Kim, do something about it. And so he founded Youth Odyssey to work with youth ages 10 to 17 in the Coastal Bend who are at risk or struggling in some kind of way. Some things that you may not know about the youth in the Coastal Bend area, many of the youth growing up in Corpus Christi have never seen the ocean. They've never been to the beach. This surprised me. I'm from Houston. Moved down here just like 2-3 years ago, and this was something that surprised me to hear. And many of the families growing up in Nueces County don't. The youth growing up in some of the under-resourced neighborhoods don't have a vision of how much bigger the world is than the small little communities that they grow up in. Our mission at Youth Odyssey is to inspire, engage, and empower disadvantaged and underprivileged youth, help them build those leadership skills, communication skills, problem-solving skills through doing outdoor adventure activities. So what do? We work on those life skills, those what are called the soft skills, right? The communication, goal setting, teamwork, problem solving, the things that help people become successful in whatever they choose to do in life. And we do this specifically through engaging the kids in physically involved experiential activities. We get them outdoors. We take them camping. We take them kayaking. We take them fishing. We take them out to our ropes course. You may have seen our ropes course before. If you drive out 37 towards San Antonio, you'll see a big wooden tower in Odom. That's us. Particularly, we apply what is called the experiential learning model due to Cold. The idea here, the way that we teach, because we are experiential, we are educators. We're experiential educators. And the way that we educate is by beginning with concrete experience. Our belief is that we learn not just from experience, but from experience that is reflected on. So we engage the youth in some sort of experience outdoors. Could be a team building session in a classroom or a gym. It could be out on the ropes course. And then my facilitators will process that experience with them. They'll talk to the youth about, what did you experience when you were doing this? What helped you be successful with this? What were the challenges in this activity? Do you ever find yourself in similar situations elsewhere in your life? We're talking about communication. Who in your life do you need to communicate with effectively? Your parents, your teachers, your siblings, your friends. What sort of things did you do in this experience that you can carry forward into those other aspects of your life? Our impact. We see approximately 1,000 kids a year currently. We run approximately 45 programs. This is actually increasing. We're expanding our programming daily. And we run six camps during the summer, but when I say camps, we're talking week-long camps. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a few more slides. But we run these camps all year round. Six of them in the summer, because that's when kids have the most time to get outdoors and do stuff with us. So we run essentially five different kinds of programs. We run our Adventure Challenge programs. We run our youth leadership camps. We have a particular program dedicated to youth leadership and mentoring youth. We have our Wilderness Adventure camps. And we also have Ropes Course events. A little bit of our bona fides here. We are currently running Adventure Challenge programs at all of these different places, different school districts, low-income housing sites around town. We ran a very successful program at the Prospera Glen Oak Apartments just up the street from here this summer. Very well attended by youth who attend Flower of Love. We also run programs for the YMCA. Behavioral health is a new program that's coming online for us, working with their intensive outpatient program. And also, true to our roots, we continue to work with justice-involved youth. We receive referrals from Judge Benavides' court. So the Adventure Challenge program, this is our site-based program. This is the program that we feel would fit best within the context of Flower Bluff. The Adventure Challenge program has basically three components. Typically, we can tailor this, we work it in lots of different ways, but typically this program has three components. There are the portable team challenges, where one of my facilitators comes to the site and works with the youth doing hands-on experiential initiatives, going through that processing I was describing, and helping the kids build those communication skills, those problem-solving skills, that self-confidence, the leadership skills. A typical Adventure Challenge program runs 10 to 12 sessions. So within our school district-based programs, this is typically done once a week so that we align with the district calendar. And so we'll run a cycle in the fall semester and then one in the spring semester as well. Halfway through that program cycle, the youth that are involved and want to participate, go out on site with us, go do something exciting, we will take them on a day trip. This is usually scheduled on a Saturday. It'll be a trip out to the ropes course. It'll be a trip kayaking. We provide the transportation. We've got the boats. We've got all of this. We don't require anything from the youth but an open heart, willingness to have some adventures, learn a little bit. Then at the end of the cycle, we offer them what we call an adventure wilderness trip, where we'll take them on a two-night camping trip to a state park someplace in Texas. This semester, we're looking at going to Government Canyon. We've got two trips planned for this semester to do that. Again, it is of no cost to the youth at all. We've got all the camping gear. We provide the food. We provide the transportation. The entire Adventure Challenge program is of zero cost to the youth. We're here to serve the youth. We're not here to try to make money off of it. So alongside our Adventure Challenge program, the youth that are involved with us, they also have opportunities to get involved in our wilderness adventure trips. These are much longer trips. They run typically 4 to 5 nights, and we go someplace and camp and explore and adventure and process and learn over the course of a week-long camping trip. We run these, as I said earlier, 6 of them during the summer. But we also run these trips during the longer school breaks. The picture here is from Big Bend. We ran this trip the last week of January into the first week of February this past school year. We've got trips coming up for the Thanksgiving break. We've got trips coming up for spring break. And so we run these trips, these longer trips, year-round. Alongside of our Adventure Challenge program, alongside of our wilderness trips, we also do our Youth Leadership Mentoring Program. This is a program where we involve youth that have been involved with Youth Odyssey for at least 2 cycles of some program, and we see that they've grown a lot and they show a willingness and interest in growing even more and doing even more. These youth get involved. We do all the fun stuff too. We do the team building games, we do the camping, but we also do a lot of community involvement and volunteering. Our last year's group, the youth themselves organized a toy drive alongside of the Marine Corps Toys for Tots toy drive. And they collected toys, and then they went and they helped with the toy distribution for that event. This young man, one of the cutest things I ever saw. He was his job at the toy distribution was to be a runner. So he would go down, he would get the orders for the families, he would go upstairs to where all the toys were stored, and he'd fill the orders. And when he picked up this one family's order, he noticed that the little girl, she must have been 4 years old. Baby Yoda pajamas, Baby Yoda shoes, Baby Yoda backpack, Baby Yoda everything. And he got upstairs and he's like, guys, it's not on the list, but we need to get this girl something Baby Yoda. And so he found this plushie and he took it down to her and he handed the bag to the family and handed the girl this plushie. And the mom and the little girl got about 3 paces away and she turned around and ran back and gave him the biggest hug. It was the cutest thing. It's a great program. We see these young people just blossom into community leadership through their involvement in our leadership and mentoring program. So, in addition to running the Adventure Challenge program, the wilderness trips, the youth leadership program, we also have the ropes course out in Odom. We get all kinds out there. Of course, we take our program-involved youth out there regularly to do team building, to do experiential learning sessions with them. but we also get sports groups from the local schools, from districts, from universities around here. We get corporate groups out fairly frequently. Church groups come out. So we have a lot to offer at Youth Odyssey. And we are really excited to get involved and be able to help support the youth of Flower Bluff ISD. Any questions about Youth Odyssey at this point?
How does this work with the school? I maybe just missed it. What's the point?
Okay, so let me see if I understand your question. I can understand your question one of two ways. A, mechanically, how do we fit into the school day? B, how does it support students?
Right. What does the school have to do to facilitate this?
The school has to do very little beyond give us approval to be there, help us get kids into the program, give us a space to work in. We're pretty turnkey. We're very experienced. We've been doing this for a long time. We know what to do. We're not here to add a burden onto the school. We're here to help the kids grow in their interpersonal skills and their problem-solving skills, which we collect data on this. What we've seen over time is that the kids who are involved with us, their grades go up, their discipline referrals go down.
How does a kid get into your program? Is it during the school day?
So there's two avenues where we've worked with schools up to this point. One avenue is we've run our Adventure Challenge program as an after-school program. So the way that this works, we're at a lot of different middle schools around Nueces County and in San Patricio. So after school, 4 o'clock, I've got facilitators on campuses right now. My facilitator will come to the campus, and the youth come and they meet them. This is after they've signed up, the parents have filled out the youth applications, so we've got the information, we know how to get a hold of the household and keep everybody safe and involved. And so the youth come out and they meet with the facilitator for 2 hours. During that time, the facilitator will do a check-in circle with them, make sure everybody's having a good day, kind of take the temperature of the group, and then they will go into whatever their initiatives that they've got planned for that day are. The facilitators select initiatives based on what they see as the skills needs for the group. And so they'll guide them through the initiatives. Usually within that 2-hour period, there's time to do 2 really solid initiatives that are linked in some way thematically based on the skills that the facilitator is working on. And then they do a debrief, closing process at the end of the session, and then the students walk home, get picked up, whatever, from there. Does that answer the question?
The other thing is there like a referral program? How do you know that child is at need? Do you understand what I'm saying?
So for the after school program, it is typically open enrollment because that's what generally the schools that we've been at, that's what they want. They don't want it to be an exclusive program. They want it to be an open enrollment program. So that's the way that we're structured typically. We do also take referrals from school counselors, from school social workers, from people who see a need with an individual student and say that they could benefit a lot from the programming that Youth Odyssey offers.
How do you separate the kids as far as like age, sex, gender, that kind of thing?
So we don't separate based on gender. I mean, we got boys and girls and the same group together. Based on age, we're at a middle school, so we get 6 out of 8 graders, typically. It's the students that are enrolled at that campus are welcome to come and participate with us. in these
so
open
it's not
enrollment
at all
programs.
Campuses, it's just middle school?
To this point, that's where the districts we're currently involved with, that's where they want us. That's not to say that we're not open to working with high school students. We certainly have in the past. It's not to say that we're not interested in working with upper elementary school students. We've run summer programs with those kids in the past. It's just that our current arrangements with the districts we're currently involved in, that's where they want us. That's where they see us as being most useful to what they need. If Flower Bluff wanted something different, we can do something different. I've got quite a bit of flexibility in the way that I build these programs. So that's the way our after-school program is structured. On a couple of campus, on one campus in particular, and a couple of others have expressed interest for this fall semester and in the spring semester. We've also been doing school day programming with AVID classes because those soft skills are part of the curriculum for AVID. Building those communication skills, those interpersonal skills. And so in those cases, what happens is my facilitator coordinates with the teacher, what are your lesson objectives for this unit? And then selects initiatives that align with those lesson objectives. And then we'll come in one day a week for a period of a week and do some sort of hands-on team building skills-focused initiative with the youth that the teacher then builds on for the rest of the unit or the rest of the lesson cycle.
So do you have ready-to-go lessons that your facilitators will implement for each meeting? Do you have kind of a curriculum that you use?
We have a curriculum guide. I do want my facilitators to be able to be flexible and address the needs of the kids in front of them. We're not all ready to learn in the same way on the same day. And so I want my facilitators to be flexible with the needs of the group. But yes, we have an overarching curriculum guide that they follow, a sequence that we typically go through.
If there's a club here on campus, whether it's during the day or it's after school, do you require the presence of a school staff member during the meetings?
That is not something that we've required in the past. It's not to say that it's something we would be against.
Is there a cost?
Not to the youth. Typically, our arrangements with districts will vary depending on what the district is asking for. And so that's something that we would work out in the process of negotiating now. Okay.
So we have the Jason Foundation in the queue, so yes. I want to respect everybody's
okay,
time
sure.
here. So if you do have questions as a committee, if you'll funnel them through me after this, and then we can kind of, in an organized way, ask any more follow-up questions of them, and then that way we can get all your questions answered. We appreciate you coming very much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now we have some technology to work our way through.
Hey, James, how you doing?
Doing well. You are here with our SHAC committee, Flower Bluff okay. America, and you can't see everybody, but we can see you. You're being
okay,
broadcast.
Well, I'm sorry.
I thought I'd give you a warning.
So
we appreciate you waiting. We had another presentation ahead of time, and you have the floor.
Okay. Jennifer Gonzalez with San Antonio Behavior Health is with me too. She's our rep down there, so She's somebody that y'all could also contact. Plus, she's close to the Bible y'all, so she's here today. I know she sent you an email earlier today about what about their program too. So I won't have any slides to share. I think James, we talked last week. We talked about what kind of resources we could provide and what we had available out there. I mean, y'all already know the data and stats and all that kind of stuff. So this presentation is about the resources that we can provide and do that. So you see step three there. This is supposed to be an hour long PowerPoint that we use sometimes. So step three, you see that. But on that first page, y'all see the, do you see the PowerPoint?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Thank God. All right, so the biggest thing I want to share on that is that we pay no charge, because that's one of the things that we really take pride in, is that we can offer anything that you want with no cost to you whatsoever. And that's been something we've been able to do for 25 years, and we're very fortunate we can do that. I mean, there are a lot of great citizen mission programs out there. A lot of them charge money, so we're happy we can do that. So the biggest thing I want to share with y'all, this is our brand new curriculum that we just have gotten in. Now, we've had a culture of tomorrow for several years, but in the past, it was a 4 to 5 day program. And so, me being a former principal, when I got here, I said, guys, let me tell you something. It's a great program, but if I'm a principal or I'm a teacher, it's hard for me to shut my school down for 4 or 5 days of education and instruction. We've got state tests and all the other things to do this. And so we've got it narrowed down now to just two. This is what it looks like. We've got 2 days only, 2 45-minute lessons, and that's it. If you have a block schedule, you can do it. Do it in 1 day for that 90 minutes. And it's there. Everything is in this. Everything's here. And one of the great things about this program is teachers no longer have to teach. One of the things that we saw and heard from, it's a very tough subject. It's a lot of teachers don't want to teach about. Don't want to teach. This is very tough. So now everything's taught with an EVD. The teachers get a facilitator guide that comes with it, and they are told exactly where to stop. Stop the video. Ask this question. Whatever. And so that's going to be a game changer, I think, for them as well, because now they got somebody to sort of do the lesson for them, and they can sort of be the person in the room to facilitate the kids. And also on this, we've got all sorts of materials they can print out as well. Everything's right here. So in the past, we had these huge kits that we would send out. Now everything comes right there, and it's going to be a game changer for us. And I think this is the one. We've already sent so many of these out already. We've only had this particular DVD, maybe 2 weeks. We probably are sent over to Notre Dame already to school. So it's going to be really something good and not easy, but it's a shortened version of being out there. So make have more time for y'all being junior day. Okay?
Yes, sir.
This right here is probably the one thing that we send out more than anything else. I know Jennifer can probably attest this as well. This is called our free and pass copy. And it looks just like a cell phone, a small cell phone. Right there. And so we also have rack cards for that too, again, free of charge. But what it is, and I recommend parents download this too, and I recommend teachers download it as well. I mean, it's for adults as well too. So what it is, it's a very quick resource that if you're home and you're needing help, you're not at school or you're on vacation, you need help, and you can click a button there and tell you exactly what to do, where to go in your area that you're in, what facility is close by. It tells you, provides you with all sorts of warning signs and things like that. So free app for Android and iPhone. What kind of resources you can use, a click of a button, all those kind of things. So we've sent this out, I cannot tell you how many thousands and thousands of these that we have sent out to schools. It's probably our most popular item that we send out, because it's the kids like it, and they put on the phone, put their little card in their purse or their wallet, and have that handy with it all the time. So I recommend adults have these too, especially teachers as well. So that's another thing. So being a former educator, I want to talk a little bit. I want to say what I would do as a principal, you know what I'm saying? So our B1 project is also one of our most popular things that we do. I think this will be a great program. I know if I was a principal now, I don't know if y'all have school resource officers there. I know most schools now have those. This will be a great program for a school resource officer to do, And a lot of times we're trying to find things to do with kids and everything like that. It's very, very simple to teach, easy to teach. And so what it is, they talk about the 3 B's, be aware, where to go detail, those kind of things. And so once they're done with the presentation, the kids will sign a little pledge card, and you can place the pledge cards on your walls, your school, your classrooms, whatever, and the kids there are able to be a friend. That's the whole thing, is to be a friend, be aware, be able, and then be prepared what to do when you think a friend's in trouble. You know, is there a adult in your school that you can go to? Is there a pastor? Anybody that you know that you're comfortable with, that you can go to when your friends, when you have a friend that's struggling. And that's one of the biggest things we see, is that kids don't want to tell each other. You know, they won't tell anybody. But this is a different situation. So all of this is found out at our website, again, free of charge. But this is probably our second most project and material that we send out. A lot of guidance counselors did this as well, because it's very simple to use and very easy to use. We even have club, like service clubs, sponsor this, and their service, whoever's in charge, the adult that's in charge of the club, do the presentation. The presentation is about 15, 20 minutes, and that's it. And they just sign a card, and they do the warning sign, and things like that. Also, I know in Texas that you've got Pastor Jason Flatax, and I know that you have trained your teachers every year. So we have 13 modules now, 13 that we have on our website that teachers can view to earn their CEU or whatever it may be for their certificate. 13 of these, and I'll just kind of go over some of those just very quickly with you. We've got one for LGBT youth. We've got one for post-vention if something, if God forbid, a suicide happens. We've got one on bullying. We've got one on non-suicidal self-injury. We've got one on teen depression for educators. We've got one on suicide prevention in challenging times. We've got suicide prevention for elementary teachers, which is, when I first got here, we desperately need something for our elementary teachers, because we have kids younger and younger who are taking their lives. So very happy that we have this one out for elementary teachers to use. So those are all 1 hour modules. Then we have 4 2-hour modules. So you go to our website, go under training, you just simply click register, log in, full short registration, and the modules are right there for you to view. When you're done with the module, you can print your certificate out right there at your desk, at your computer, and then give that to your principal or whoever. So I want to say that this year so far, we've trained about 26,000-27,000 teachers so far this year across the country with our modules. So again, a great way, and an easy way for teachers to go online and do those kind of things as well. So those are something I recommend as well too. We also have something for our parents. It's called our Parent Resource Program. And so what that's designed to do, it's kind of like an EAP program, your elementary employee assistance program. And so what it is, we really encourage schools to put this on your website. It's an easy access for parents to have access to. And what it provides parents with tons and tons and tons of information to help their children out, look for warning signs and those kind of things. We know that 4 out of every 5 suicides, a warning was given out before they attempted suicide. So the more we know, the more we're aware, the better. And it's a convenient way for parents to go online and look at some things that they think their child is having some problems out there. So that's our parent resource program. We also have, if you have a parent now or something like that, we have a parent community seminar. Again, this just goes over live in person, or you can watch a DVD as well. We have a DVD at our website as well. Again, it goes over all the different warning signs and things like that for parents to be aware of. Maybe they're a friend's child, you know, whoever it may be, you know, I don't know, but we have those available too. If you ever have a parent night or things like that, or a PTO meeting or whatever, that's available free of charge as well that we do. Skip that, another thing that I really like this as a principal, and it's I Will Be Silent. It's www.iwillbesilent.com. We have had so many schools that use this. This is just an awareness campaign that we have that it's created to challenge your friends and coworkers. You can do it at work. You can do it at your district office. You can do it at school with teachers, any of those things. And so what it is, the kids promise that they will be silent. They're going to, if they have a friend in trouble, they will not be silent. Hashtag will be silent. And so it's a great idea for an SGA to do. You know, you might have something at your, you're at a dance, whatever, you have a table set up, and you have these, we have these little pull-out cards we can send out, and it'll show that they can take pictures of that, and it goes on their social media page. And those kids love that picture you're taking. And to have those things on social media pages or have those pictures up in your school, it's a national campaign that we do. I have seen all sorts of things done with this program because it reaches so many people. Just last week in Arizona, I had a rep that worked with a high school group there to create a banner for this, and they're putting the banners up at their high school football games on Friday nights for the community to see. You know, I've seen cheerleaders do banners, the little things, the big things they run through the ball games or whatever. I've seen cheerleaders make these huge signs for in September for this campaign. You know, we love our Tigers, so hashtag will be silent. People in the stadium are going, what does that mean? They're on their phones at that point, 1,000 photos for the Texas football roster. I probably got each 1,000 in one game, but you'll have people look on their phone and what is going to be silent? And that just creates more and more of being, of reaching more and more people there. It's a great campaign to do, really easy. This is one that kids can do, this is one that groups can do, you know, clubs, circus clubs, or whatever can do this and be very easy. And then take pictures and put them up in school. And that's just basically what that is. And the website is www.iwillbesilent.com. I'll add that website. You got a message from Clark Flatt, who is our president. You know, Slim Jason's what the foundation is named after. From that website, you can download banners and posters and all sorts of things free of charge and put those up around your school. And then again, have kids take pictures and things like that. So, very easy way to sort of spread that message about these schools out there to everyone. And that's pretty much it. That's what I wanted to present you. I know I didn't have a lot of time today. I hope I didn't go too fast, but I wanted to kind of have time to answer some questions as well, if you want me to. But those are some of the things that we offer, again, free of charge. And I was trying to talk to you from an educator perspective on what I would think would work and maybe this whatever. So do y'all have any questions about anything? Like I said, you go to our website and order everything free of charge. You can look at it. Call us. Call Jennifer or call me. And we'll send everything through San Antonio to y'all through that office there.
Sure. One thing I'm sure of is that this committee will want to take a deeper look at the curriculum. So after this, if we can talk and we can get some materials so they can look more at the lessons and deeper at that, we're planning to go back to committee in mid-October. So yeah, if you and I can just have a conversation in the next few days so I can get the committee out some more materials to kind of go deeper into the curriculum, that'd be great. And if and at that, we just, does anybody have any questions?
I also want to tell you real quick, you can stream, you can go on our website right now and stream the curriculum right now.
Okay.
Without having to order copies. You can see it right there on the screen at the website. Just click on, you go to Outlook training, click on Promise for Tomorrow. Scroll down and you can sign some of the form and you can review it.
Okay, we appreciate it. Does anybody have any questions for them?
I had a question.
Okay.
It's regarding the parent resource program, that little button that could be put on a website. Is that just resources? That itself doesn't connect to a counselor or anything like that as something for the students would connect, right?
Didn't really hear all the words.
I'm sorry.
So, I'll try to restate it.
Thank you.
The question is about the parent resource and the button that they click. That does, and the question is, does that go directly to a counselor or does that just go to materials to help guide the parent when they click on that button?
Yeah, on your website or whatever? Yeah, no, what it does is provides them with information, then it will provide them with numbers and things that they can call to reach out to professionals, you know, if they're worried about that. That's what that does, yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay, thank you.
It doesn't automatically alert the school if they click on that. It's something parents look at, and then if they have problems, they have numbers to call, or they're going to call the school then too.
Okay, well, we appreciate you very much taking the time to present to us, and I'll be in touch.
Yes, sir. Thank you all so much for having us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, that's good.
Are you still here?
So, how's everybody doing?
Good.
We're moving along here. There are some materials I wanted to pass around that one of our schools is wanting to put up, and this is all from the National, it is from the the National Mental Health Government Agency, and we just want to make you guys aware of these. So if you'll pass them around, and pass them around and take a look while we're visiting, and then really we're at the point in the meeting where I would like to ask any counselors that we have here to report out anything that they have to share with the committee, if anything at all. So I don't think we have any school counselors here. We just have the social workers. Oh, hi. No pressure.
Can you share that with me?
Yes. No pressure.
Okay, thanks.
So, and then the other thing is okay. Nurses. COVID is doing great, and it's starting to be not so much of a conversation, and we're really liking that and getting back to normal.
Yes.
So, if that is it, I'll open it up to remarks from the members.
You didn't get your fitness grant.
Oh, thanks. So, how many members did you have last year? So we need three members that are physically fit and ready to. So that automatically takes me out of the co-chair spot on that one. Would anybody like to volunteer to just be the subcommittee for? Thank you so much, Linda. For physical fitness.
Fitness Graham.
Okay. And I apologize. That's Mr. Cunningham, correct?
Yeah.
And
Mandy Cox.
Okay. One more.
I'm sorry.
It's a physical fitness part of this committee where we go over the fitness gram that happens every year and maybe do some more research about the time that we spend on PE we're supposed to possibly report those things like that to the board too. So
okay, I'll volunteer.
And your name was
Christine Harris.
Okay, sorry about that. And if it was 25 years ago, I could commit to remembering all your names the next one, but I'm not going to do that this time, not even a tiny bit. And your name was?
Mandy Cox.
Okay. All right. So at this point, does any member have anything that you want to contribute or say or visit about?
I was just going to say, do we have a nutrition department report?
You know, I invited Gina, but she is not here today.
I'm very particularly interested in that, just the school breakfast and what's being provided.
Okay, I tell you what, I'm going to make that note, and I'll make sure that Gina's here to update us in October.
She's actually busy with, we just started the supper program this week, so she's at the campuses trying to make sure that
they're getting fed.
Well, that's a good reason.
That's a good reason.
But I will make sure that she's here next meeting.
The supper program?
Do you happen to know the time frame for it?
Yeah, we just actually started yesterday, and we changed it today. I don't know if she's going to change it in time for this week, but we're looking at starting it at 4:45 to 5:15. And the high school will serve as the site for the community and anyone else that doesn't attend the other campuses for campus care or Boys and Girls Club. But they get supper. It's not supposed to be a full meal, but for some kids it could be considered a full meal because it's a sandwich and fruit, and they have to follow the nutrition guidelines, so they do get veggies and fruit and protein. So some of the complaints we're getting already is some parents are saying, I don't want them to have a full dinner. Well, it's a supper, so they sometimes will eat the whole thing and may not be hungry when they get home to you.
So any other comments, questions? My sense is that our October meeting, we'll have that update, but I think we're going to be busy as a committee in October because we really need to get you some materials. We met with the counselors and we talked to them about really looking at resources that we need so we can get some good resources. And we visited with the principals today, And one of the things that we really need work on and help with is the vaping issue. And there's curriculum out there that this committee needs to review so we can get that going. So I think we're going to finish on time today, and that way, if we work us an hour later next time, you can have some grace.
That's right.
So, and as the co-chair, I just want to really say, this is work after hours and everything, and I really appreciate your time and appreciate your effort. And if you have any questions regarding either one of these today, email me or anything else, and we'll get you some answers. And with that said, I think we'll as the co-chair, I'll make a recommendation that we adjourn.
I'll send it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
So did you touch the second one or something? Or the fine, so I can tell her she can.
What is the program?
I may email you a copy.
Writing. What she needs to do is give them to me. Thank you, man. What she needs to do. Yeah.